Welcome to the Ridge Community Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button and find us online at theridgecc.com. At our website, you can catch up with everything that's happening at The Ridge, watch previous messages, and learn more about who we are. If you want to watch services live, you can catch them every Sunday via our online community at live.theridgecc.com. We hope this message inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Just want to shout a huge welcome to all of you joining us in person here in Greenfield, those of you joining us online, and to all of my peeps at the Oak Creek Franklin campus. Love you guys. Hey, if we haven't met yet, my name is Forrest, and I am the pastor of our Oak Creek Franklin campus, and it is just awesome that I get to spend some time here with you guys, hanging out with you today. And you know, one of the things that I find that's interesting in life is the way that we throw around the word love. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but we kind of throw away around that word to just describe so many different feelings and emotions that we have. Like, for instance, I'm sure there's some of you in this audience right now that would say, I love Taco Bell. And if, yeah, you would, okay. Well, if that's you, here's what I want you to know. Right after service, we're going to have a prayer team up here. And that way you can come up, they're going to pray for you, and they're going to make sure that God helps you understand what real food is in life. Or there's others of you that would say that I love my air fryer. Do you remember a couple years ago how hot those air fryers were? How many of you bought an air fryer? Yep, I did. It sucked. It did. It really, really did. Well, there's others of us that will use that term. You say, I love my family, or I love God, or I love my children, or I love my friends. See, we use this term love in so many different general ways to share our feelings and emotions. And love is at the heart of the series that we're in right now, which is called Love Has a Name. And what we're learning in this series is that love isn't a general term. No, see, love is a person. And that person has a name, and that name is Jesus. And one of the cool things that we learn from Jesus is that he doesn't just love in a general way. No, see, he loves us personally. And he loves so many different people, but he loves specific people as well, right? He loves hurt people, broken people, wounded people, annoying people, awkward people, everyday people like you and like me. And see, what's cool is by Jesus, by loving us in an individual way, he actually has changed this world. And he shows us exactly who God is. And then what he does is he challenges those of us who are followers of his, right? He challenges us to take that love and then go out and share that love with those people that are around us. And so what we're learning in this series over these couple of weeks is we're learning how to love people like Jesus did. And here's my prayer for us as a church, is that as a church, we would be known as people that love Jesus or that love people just the same way that Jesus did in such a huge way. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, here's what I want for you. I want you to know how much Jesus loves you, how much he's for you. And I hope that you use that as just another reason that you should begin to just explore what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Now, my dad and I, we love to do a lot of things together. But one of our favorite things to do is we love to ski. It's like one of our passions in life. And we ski in the downhill skiing like the very same style. We like to find the steepest runs with the deepest snow. Now, a couple years ago, we were skiing at a resort outside of this country, and we're skiing, and it kind of get halfway through the day, and we get to this point where we've got a kind of a split in the runs here. And so the run on the right is this nice, really easy, well-groomed run. And then the run on the left, we look over there, and it's got this sign. And the sign says, danger cliffs ahead. So we sit there, and we have this conversation, say, okay, which run should we take? And it's quite obvious what run we should do. We should go down the nice, easy, calm run. But then we start talking a little bit more. We start saying things like, oh my God, like look at the snow over there. You know, I think I see a way through all of those trees. I mean, how tall can the cliff actually be? Right, the sign doesn't say I can't go this way. And so my dad and I, well, we decide to take the run with the cliffs. And so we start skiing and I'm ahead and I get a couple turns in and all of a sudden I drop down onto this huge 30-foot cliff. And I look on the other side of this cliff and there's a frozen waterfall. Like I've got nowhere to go. And like 2 seconds behind me, my dad, he just drops right down too. And we're sitting there like, what are we gonna do? And so my dad looks at us and says, well, looks like we gotta take our skis off and climb back up the mountain. And I say, See, I'm not a type of guy that loses. Like I don't like defeat. So there's no way I'm taking my skis off and I'm climbing back up that hill. No way at all. So I say, Dad, I'm going to ski across that frozen waterfall. And he's like, you're nuts. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do it. And so this is probably the second stupid thing that I just did, or maybe I should say the stupider, right? That's a word, stupider thing that I was going to do. And so I decided to try to ski across the frozen waterfall. And just like I'm sure all of you are assuming, my skis went whoop right out onto the ice. And I start tumbling down the hill head over heels all the way down the cliff. And luckily, I fall in this big, beautiful, fresh snow pile. So I'm A-okay, freaked out, but A-okay, but not as freaked out as my dad is. See, my dad would tell you that's the closest that he's ever seen one of his sons come to death, because my head kept coming about this far away from all of the boulders. But there's just something unique and something special that happens when guys get together. And I call it this. I call it GMSS, which is Group Male Stupidity Syndrome. And so here's what GMSS is. It's when a group of us guys, and typically younger guys, we get together and we start talking about an idea. And usually the first thing that we talk about the idea is right. Like we're like, oh, that's stupid, right? That can never get done. Like we can't accomplish that. But then we start talking a little bit more, right? And we start thinking a little bit more, and we actually begin to convince ourselves that that idea is not a stupid idea, but a good idea. And so that's what happened with my dad and I, right? We convinced ourselves to take the run with all of the cliffs. And now the reason I'm talking about this idea of GMSS is that there's this group of guys in the Bible, in this story that I think had a little bit of GMSS. Because when I take a look at their story and I take a look at what they did, man, I can't believe that they tried what they tried. But we see this in the book of Mark. In chapter 2, we see this story. And so I'll jump right in here. It says this, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no room even outside the door. So here's the picture that I want you to get here. You're in this house. And most scholars believe that this is Peter's house, right? The disciple Peter's house. And so you're sitting there, you're in Peter's house, and it is wall-to-wall people. I mean, it is so packed that you can't get another person inside the house. In fact, there's so many people just outside of the house piled that they're just trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. I was at a concert a few years ago at Summerfest, and it was one of those concerts that were super packed. And I was all the way up in the front, and it was so packed that like I'm standing there and I can't move to my left, right? I can't move to my right. And so I turn around and all I see is this sea of people all the way from the stage, all the way back to like where the concession stands are back there. So if I wanted to leave at that time, I couldn't even get myself out of there. Like, that's the picture that I want you to have here, right? Peter's house, it is so packed that not only can't you get another person inside, but you can't even get another person up to the door. And so here, the next verse says this. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and they couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head, and then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. See, a little bit of a background here. If you were paralyzed back in Jesus's time, right, there was no wheelchair. There was this no little rascal scooter to take you around. See, in order to get from point A to point B, you'd have had to have been picked up on your mat and carried there. And so this crowd of people, like, this was a huge obstacle for the paralyzed man's friends. Because it's not like they could have just picked him up on the mat and been like, oh, excuse me, coming through, oh, out of my way, you know, uh-oh, just watch out. No, there was no way for them to get to where they needed to go. And so this part isn't in the Bible. But here's what I'm thinking is kind of going through their minds, right? Their friends, they sit there, they set their buddy down, and then they go over to the side and they start having a conversation. They're like, dude, like, how are we gonna get him there? Right, there's this crowd of people. We can't even see the door there. Like, we believe that Jesus can heal our friend, but we don't think that there's a way that we can actually get him there. And then I bet you there's this one guy who's in that group. He's like, ah, I got this idea. All right, let's hear it. What's your idea? All right, we're gonna go find a ladder. Okay, then we're gonna take a ladder to Peter's house, and we're gonna climb up that ladder. We're gonna go up there, and we're gonna dig a hole in the roof. Because it's not like the roofs back then were made out of concrete, right? So they could dig a hole through all this clay. And guess what? We're going to say, hey, Jesus, here's our friend. And we're going to drop him down there right in front of the feet of Jesus. And I bet you the guys were like, dude, what are you talking about? Like, that's crazy. I mean, you want us to just run around and find a ladder and then climb up onto Peter's house, dig a hole in his roof, and then Jesus is going to be sitting there. He's going to be, you know, healing people and teaching people. And all of a sudden, there's just clay and grass and mud just falling down on top of Jesus. And we're just going to peel back the top of his house. And we're going to say, hey, surprise. Like, here's our buddy. You know, can you heal him? Yeah. And then I bet you what happened was the GMSS set in. See, I think they all started actually talking a little bit more about this idea. And they're like, well, you know, this might actually work. And then all of a sudden they got excited because like, this is going to be awesome to try. So all of a sudden they just go out and they try to find ladders. Now, here's what I love about these dudes. Here's what I love about these four guys. And it's this, that they were going to do whatever it takes to get their friend to Jesus. Do you have a friend like that in your life? See, I did. His name was Eric. And when I first met Eric, like I was that guy on that mat. See, my life was a mess. You know, on the outside, it looked good. You know, I had a great job. I was making good money. I had an awesome family. But on the inside, man, I was a mess. Like, I had so many different identity and purpose issues going on in me. And Eric, man, he was just real with me. He spent time with me. You know, we hung out. We played racquetball together. We golfed together. And he just was authentic with me. And he showed me that I could have meaning for my life, that had value for my life and purpose for my life. See, he was the first person in my life to help me find Jesus. See, do you have somebody in your life that would do whatever it took to get you to the feet of Jesus? Now, here's an even more important, and actually, this is a bigger question, and this is the question that I want you to think about the whole time I'm up here, and it's this. What would you do for somebody that you love that needs to get to the feet of Jesus? You know, somebody who needs healing, who needs forgiveness, but just feels like there's just so many different obstacles in their way. Well, I want to help you with that. And so today what I want to do is I want to share with you three ideas or insights that I've got from this story. And as I share these with you, I want you to think about one person in your life that needs to get to Jesus. You know, it could be a friend, a neighbor, a coworker. It could be that person that you wrote the name on their card last week. But I want you to think about them. And here's my prayer. Is that as you hear these ideas that I tell you about, that you actually take these ideas and you help your friend, this person, take one step towards the feet of Jesus by inviting him to one of our Christmas Eve services. All right, so that's what we want to do. That's what we're going to do today. So I'm going to jump in onto my first idea, my first insight, and it's this. Try a different door. See, there's only one door to Peter's house, right? And that door was blocked. And a lot of times in life, like the doors that we think that we should be going through, like they feel like they're blocked as well. And you know, these four friends, they could have said, all right, I guess their buddy's not going to get healed. Like there's so many different things in the way, right? There's no way we're going to get him there. So I guess we should just go home. But that's not what they said. See, they said, well, okay, I guess if we can't go in, then we got to go up. See, sometimes in life, you got to go up. See, we got to get off of this human level, and we got to get up to God's level. Because on this human level, there's things in this world that we can't accomplish. But on God's level, see, there's nothing impossible for those of us who believe. In fact, a little bit later in Mark, he records Jesus saying this exact thing. He says this in Mark 10:27, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. See, everything is possible with God. See, God wants to take you to a different door. He wants to take you to a higher door. He wants to grow your faith. See, these guys, man, They grabbed these ladders. They climbed up on the roof and they were digging this hole in this roof. And they weren't digging this hole in the roof under their own strength, like their own power. No, they were digging it with their faith. See, Mark says, when Jesus saw their faith, see, Jesus didn't look at these four friends and go, man, you guys are strong. You guys are powerful. Man, way to keep going. Way to keep persevering. I am so glad that you guys did it. You guys are awesome. No. What Jesus noticed, what he saw, what moved Jesus was their faith. Whose faith? Their faith. These four guys' faith. See, they're the ones that are up there digging that hole in the roof. Right? They're the ones that believe that Jesus could heal their friend. And then the next verse, it says this. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. See, Jesus saw the faith of these four friends, but it was the paralyzed man that he healed. So it means that there's going to be this point in our life where our faith, right, it can move God's heart on behalf of someone else. So here's my question for you. Who needs your faith right now? Who's that person in your life, right, who that's laying on that mat? They can hardly get out of bed in the morning. Maybe they're paralyzed by fear or anxiety, but they're hurting right now. And maybe they're in the hospital. You know, maybe they're in the prison, or maybe they are simply living right next door to you. Who needs your faith right now? Who needs healing? Who needs forgiveness? And if you're not a follower of Jesus, here's what I want you to know. See, I hope you find hope in what I'm talking about today. Because right now, you might be sitting on that mat today. But here's the amazing thing. You might actually be up on that roof digging a hole for somebody else tomorrow. And this brings me to my second point. And it's this. Sometimes you just got to wreck the roof. See, I love how these four guys, right, they weren't in the box thinkers. See, if they were in the box thinkers, they would have just been like, all right, we can't get my buddy to Jesus, so we might as well go home. And then I bet you a couple years later, they'd be sitting there and they'd be looking at their buddy and they'd be having a conversation like, I wonder if we could have done more. Like, I wonder if there was something else we could have done for him. I wonder if how many of us right now are sitting here missing out on our miracle. Right, the miracle that God wants to do in our lives, because we are simply so used to doing things the way that we've always done them. And I wonder if there was people sitting there, right at that house watching what these guys were doing, saying like, you can't go up there on the roof. Like you're wrecking Peter's roof. You're making a mess. Like, who is going to pay for that mess? Well, here's what I always want to be true of myself. And I hope you want this to be true of you too. And it's this, like, I always want to be a person that gets so much more excited when a messy person begins to follow Jesus that I am concerned about the mess that it makes. Let me say that again. I always want to be known as the person that gets more excited when a messy person begins to follow Jesus that I am concerned about the mess that it makes. And when I talk about a messy person, like, it's okay to be a messy person. Right? We are all messy at some point in our lives, right? Our church was designed for messy people. That our church was designed for that person who needs to be lowered down there on the mat. And in fact, let me ask you this. What do you look at, or how do you feel when you see somebody in our church wrecking the roof? Like, how do you feel? How do you react when you walk through the doors of our auditorium here or in Oak Creek, Franklin, and you're walking up to your seat and you see somebody that's new, somebody that you've never seen before sitting in your seat? Like, do you walk up to them and kind of walk by and be like, Or do you say, hey, welcome? Yeah, what about when you see that person who you know outside of church? And you see them here for the very first time, and you know everything that they do outside of church, right? You know all the messy things that they do in their life. And you're like, what are you doing at my church? Or do you go up to them and welcome them? What about when the music that we play here? What about when the music is not the same music that you like? So you have people coming up to me, and they come up to me, and they're like, hey, Forrest, like, I don't like how big our church is getting. You know, I don't like this whole big church thing. And I'm like, I get it, right? I don't like standing in line for coffee or standing in line in traffic trying to park more than any of you else do. But here's what I do love. I love it when a messy person begins to follow Jesus. And I love that so much more than I care about the mess that it makes. And you know why? Because I was that messy person. See, when I first started coming to the Ridge, I was that guy on the mat. I was the guy that was a mess. You know, like so many of us, man, my life looked good on the outside, but I was a mess. And guess what? Jesus forgave me of all the stuff that I did when I was a mess. Right? Jesus began to create a new person in me, a new creation in me when I was a mess. I began to follow Jesus when I was a mess. And so I say to these people, like, I get what you're saying, but I am so glad that the people that came here before you and became here before me, that they didn't have that attitude. Right? I'm so glad that so many of you, that a lot of you that have been coming here since the beginning, that you never sat back and said, oh, I don't know about this rock and roll music. We got to stop this. Or the lines are getting too long for coffee. The traffic is getting too bad. Like, we got to stop growing. See, I am so thankful that you guys, man, that you guys wrecked the roof a few times over the years. Because that's why I'm here. See, I wouldn't be here without you guys. And I'm just one of so many different stories like that in our church. So thank you. Our church wouldn't be where it was without you. So thank you for wrecking a few roofs every few years as you've gone through the years for church. Thank you for that. Now, here brings me to our last point. And it's this. When everyone else leaves, stay. See, when you think about that night, that huge crowd of people, right? I don't know how many of them walked right past that paralyzed man and completely ignored him. Or I don't know how many of them maybe walked by and be like, hey, I got someplace I got to go. I got to go see Jesus. And I don't have time to stop with you. But his friends picked him up. And maybe you feel like that at times. And we don't know a lot about this paralyzed man. Most scholars, they believe he was 20 to 30 years old and that he was actually paralyzed from birth, which means that he's been sitting there for 20 or 30 years just watching the crowd pass him by, just completely ignoring him. But his friends, they picked him up. They stayed. Now, we got this title from the series that we're in, right? Love Has a Name, from a book that has the same title. And it's written by this author, Adam Weber. And Adam Weber, he wrote this in the book. He said this, as human beings, we need others. See, sometimes we don't realize this, right? Especially us dudes. We think, nah, I don't need anybody else in my life. Like, I got it. I'm good. Like, I can fix this. But as human beings, we were created, right? We are wired to need one another. In fact, studies say that people who have good relationships, that have good friendships, they're happier. That people with good friendships, man, they have less health problems. They have less mental health issues, right? They live longer than people that don't have good friendships. Another author, he calls this 2 o'clock in the morning friends. At 2 o'clock in the morning, when you're having that panic attack, or 2 o'clock in the morning when you're in that huge argument with your spouse and they get in their car and they drive off, who are you going to call? At 2 o'clock in the morning when the crowd leaves, who are you going to call? See, these friends didn't leave. Right? These friends picked up this paralyzed man. They stayed. And as a follower of Jesus, here's what we need to say. When everyone else leaves, I'll stay. When no one else will love you, I'll love you. And I'm not talking about any sort of romantic relationships here, right? If you are in an abusive relationship, please, you need to put boundaries on your relationships. What I am talking about is that person in your life that I made you think about, that person in your life who is sitting there on the mat, right? Who is hurting, who needs healing, who needs forgiveness, right? That person who, when everybody else looks at them, they're like, that person's too difficult. Like, I don't want to love that person. I can't love that person. So will you do that for them? Will you love them? See, that's what love does. See, love stays when everyone else leaves. Love digs a hole, wrecks a roof for their friends. See, love helps them get to a higher door, to another door, a different door. So who in your life right now, can you love like that this Christmas season? You know, who's that person that you thought of in the beginning of the service when I asked you to think about somebody? Maybe it was your friend, coworker, your one, you know, that neighbor. That person who is hurting right now, that needs healing and forgiveness. And would you help them just take one simple step towards coming to the feet of Jesus by inviting them to one of our Christmas Eve services? See, that is such an easy way to begin this journey for them. See, studies say that at Christmas, people are so much more open to Jesus and church than they are ever, any other time of the year. So, man, you've just got a huge in here. So invite them. Now, dudes, men, let me just talk to you for a moment. See, when stuff like this happens, when we get asked to invite people, this is when we check out. We say we're guys, right? We don't do this. But let me remind you of the person that helped me find Jesus. That was Eric. See, guys, I know that you know men in your life that are struggling right now, that are struggling at home, that are struggling leading at home, that are struggling with work, that are struggling leading their businesses. And right now, they need you to wreck the roof for them, right? They need your faith. See, there's something special, guys, about the way that we talk to each other, the way we communicate to each other. Like, we'll listen to each other. So, guys, I need you to invite big, man. Don't check out. I need you to invite boldly. They need you to do that because maybe that simple little invite, it could be what changes their life forever and brings the hope of Jesus into their home. And we believe that in that so much here at The Ridge, that all of our Christmas Eve service times and our services, they're designed for the messy people. They're designed for that messy dude. So will you do that for them? Will you invite them? And maybe some of you here, you say, you're not a follower. You say, yeah, Forrest, I resonate more with that paralyzed guy. Like, I feel like I am on the mat right now. That I feel paralyzed by fear or an anxiety. And I need healing in my heart, maybe healing in my mind from my thoughts. And I definitely need to be forgiven for all the stuff that I've done in my life. And I need to get to Jesus. I know I need to get to him, but I just don't know how. And it just feels like there's so many obstacles in my way. Well, see, that healing, that forgiveness, man, that begins with faith. See, when Jesus saw their faith, that's when he forgave them. And it's got to be your faith, right? Not your pastor's faith, not your friend's faith, not your parents' faith. It's got to be your faith. And so if you've never given your faith, your trust to Jesus, man, I want to give you an opportunity to do just that. I want to give you an opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus. And if you say, hey, Forrest, like, I've just got things in my life that I need to be healed from, like in my heart, my mind, I just need to be forgiven from so much. Well, here's the thing, like, Jesus wants to do that for you. And all he asks for is your faith. So right now, I want to lead you in a prayer that'll help you turn your faith and begin to trust God. So across all of our campuses, let's bow our heads right now as I lead you in this prayer. God, I know I'm a mess right now. God, I know that I can't do it on my own. And God, the only way that I can get through all of this, the only way that I can move on is with you. So God, I know that you can forgive me of all of the things that I have done. And God, I ask for your forgiveness right now. And God, I ask to turn over my life to you, that I deciding right now in this moment to follow you with my life. So Jesus, accept me, lead me, love me as I make a choice to allow you to do that. Now God, there's so many of us here that are on the fence of who should we invite? How do we invite? And God, I just pray that you give us the boldness to invite big this Christmas because this is the season where you could change somebody else's life. So God, help us all across all of our campuses to do our part, which is to make a simple ask. Will you come sit with us at one of our Christmas Eve services? And God, allow that little simple invite to be a movement of your love throughout our community as we get to bring the hope of your son to so many more homes, man. Just think about the change our community will be when that happens. So allow that change, that movement to begin this Christmas season as we all invite big, and we do this in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Community Churches podcast. If you live in Southeast Wisconsin, we'd love to host you at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and more about our kids and students' environments, visit us at theridgecc.com. That's theridgecc.com.